Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins is brought to you by James H. Brown and Associates, Alberta Injury Lawyers. Go to jameshbrown.com.
Mason McTavish has scored, 19th of the season. Ducks lead the Flames 1-0 with 4:58 left in the first period. As we update the scoreboard for Cougar Paint and Collision, our family helping your family for 40 years. Canucks and Golden Knights coming up in about half an hour. Second period, no score, Bruins and Predators. Wild leading Ottawa 2-1. Blackhawks, Islanders 1-1. The Penguins beat the Devils 6-3. Canadians lead the Panthers 5-2 with 6 minutes left in the third. Bit of a tougher go for the Panthers lately. And Buffalo taking it to Washington tonight. It is 6-2 for the Sabres. Blue Jays trailing the Astros 1-0 after 6. Raptors lose yet again, 128-111 to the L.A. Lakers. Oilers didn't practice today. They will take on Dallas tomorrow right here on 6:30, Chet. 6 o'clock for the faceoff show, 7:30 for the start of the game. So kind of a late one coming from the central time zone. All right. Goalie interference. If you don't like the rule, fix the rule. I want you to write it for me in a paragraph. 780-496-0063. Email insidesports@630ched.com. Kellen, what do we have?
Yes, I am ready to go now since I've properly dispatched a computer. And now right. We have one that actually shows the text messages, which is great. Dry99 texts in and says, it's a goal unless the contact made against the goalie is intentional and the player makes zero effort to avoid the goalie unless the goalie is outside his crease. Contact with any part of the equipment outside the crease is fair game. As for puck over the glass, what if they added a foot or two of glass but rounded the glass inward over top of the ice? That would keep more pucks in. So I think he's envisioning
like an umbrella.
Well, I was thinking more like a backstop, like you see at like the community ball fields and that stuff a little bit.
Read the goalie interference part again.
Okay. It's a goal unless the contact made against the goalie is intentional and player makes zero effort to avoid the goalie unless the goalie is outside of his crease. Contact with any part of the equipment outside of the crease is fair game.
Okay. So basically it would be a goal unless the player makes intentional contact, which players would try to make it look like it's not, or they make zero effort to avoid the contact. Now, St. Louis would probably argue, though, Hyman didn't make any effort to avoid the contact, so I don't know if that would fix last night's goal. I don't mind that. There could be other situations. Does that simplify it? Maybe a little bit. There would probably still be some referee judgment involved when it comes to intentional contact. Okay, that's not bad, though.
Lando texts in, and we may want Lando's suggestion to be real because it simplifies everything. Says, Reed, just have the Simpsons make an episode and predict the future of the rule. At least we then might understand the standard.
All right.
Because the Simpsons have an uncanny way of predicting things happening, you know, especially in the early episodes. But moving on, we'll go to an unknown text that came in. Says, has to be, if the player stops the goalie from making the save, that one goal Binnington should have stopped. He opened a five hole without any interference, and he adds, that call was Toro poop. So I'll let you leave the last sentence up for interpretation there. But it has to be if the player stops the goalie from making the save. Basically, it's a justification for that text message that came in.
Yeah, which is part of the rule now. Here's part of the rule. The overriding rationale of this rule is that a goalkeeper should have the ability to move freely within his goal crease without being hindered by the actions of an attacking player. If an attacking player enters the goal crease and by his action... Hang on a second, Colin.
Oh.
Sorry, hang on.
Yeah, no worries.
I had to sneeze.
Yeah.
if an attacking player has been, sorry, if an attacking player enters the goal crease and by his actions impairs the goalkeeper's ability to defend his goal and a goal is scored, the goal will be disallowed. So that's part of a lengthy introduction to the rule. And then the more specific one I was reading as to why the goal got negated last night, that's later on in the text. I feel like I'm analyzing a university textbook or something.
There's a lot of studying going on. It's study hall tonight.
But that's, I think that like that's a good text because did the contact prevent the goalie from making the save? Maybe if it was that simple last night, that goal would have counted because, and somebody pointed this out to Rob and I last night, Binnington opened the five hole. Hyman did not cause his legs to come apart and for the five hole to open. So maybe if it simply said if a player's actions in the crease, whether intentional or incidental, prevent a goaltender from making an attempt to make the save, the goal shall be disallowed. Now there might still be some interpretation there, but perhaps when you have Hyman or a player like Hyman going through quickly, there's a jostle, but it's not enough to totally throw the goaltender out of the way, then maybe a goal like that would stand. But again, the language of the rule we're reading last night just says if an attacking player initiates contact with a goalie, incidental or otherwise, while the goalkeeper is in his crease and a goal is scored, the goal will be disallowed. So that the language as it pertains to last night doesn't specify how the puck goes in or what part of the goalie's body was moved out of the way or not moved out of the way.
Mm-hmm. Farmer Ed texts again tonight, says, "Hi, Reed, I've tried to do my homework and I think I have a thought, but then again, I'm just a dumb farmer by city slicker standards." But anyway, he goes on to add, "So my rule is if a player contacts a goalie in the blue paint just before a shot and the puck goes in from the outside, it's no goal. However, if the puck is loose in the blue paint, it's free game and any contact is okay, but you can't shove the goalie or puck if it is covered over the goal line." He also goes on to add, "That rule is when the goalie is in the blue paint. If he is outside of blue paint, all rules are off. He's fair game." Thanks again, Farmer Ed.
Yeah, and that's now the current rule does respect the goal crease. So the one that I'm reading, 69.3, is contact inside the goal crease. 69.4 says contact outside the goal crease. And it actually kind of says the same thing. And if attacking player initiates any contact with a goalie other than incidental contact, while the goalkeeper is outside his crease and a goal is scored, the goal be disallowed. So incidental contact outside the crease is fine. You know, if it's more deliberate or severe, and it says, you know, the goalie's not fair game. But yes, and that's what we were saying last night, that if that's outside the crease, it would have counted because, you know, Hyman is entitled to skate across there. Jerry emails in. He says, "The issue with the rule is that it currently is not time-dependent, which adds to the open-endedness and therefore results in differing of interpretations. To remedy that concern, add the phrase, before the goalie has made contact with the puck." Interesting.
Okay. Unknown text that came in here as well says, "Goalie interference was having one foot in the crease, and later you could have one foot in the crease. Now you can have both feet provided you don't touch the goalie as a shot is fired at the goalie. I would say the rule is generous to the shooter, so any contact should be called during a shot."
Right. And I guess we should clarify that the skate in the crease rule wasn't just about goaltender interference. It was about having a skate in the crease. I remember a goal. I think Pierre Turgeon scored it for the Blues. He scored on a wraparound, and the goalie was like knocked down or got caught up on his post and didn't get across. And Turgeon, he's a left-handed shot. He's coming around. He's taking the puck out on a wide arc, and as he spun his body, his skate went into the crease before he fired the puck into the empty net. They called it no goal. So that wasn't a goalie interference call. That was a skate in the crease, which is, I guess, kind of an offshoot of not interfering with the goaltender. Well, can you read that last one again?
I had it, and it's...
Okay.
it's gone now.
Yeah, it's interesting, right? Like, should there be some leeway for a referee to decide, was the goalie going to stop it? Was it going in? Did he have a reasonable chance? You know, is it bang, bang? Was it going to go in anyway?
I got it right here, Reed. Yeah, it came right back
up. Read it again.
Goalie interference was having 1 foot in the crease. Then you could have 1 foot in the crease. Now you can have both feet, provided you don't touch the goalie as a shot is fired at the goalie. I would say the rule is generous to the shooter, so any contact should be called during a shot.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So I think then that person would agree with the rule as it is, and that goal didn't count last night, if I'm interpreting that correctly.
I like Frazier's response. He just texted in here. Says, train AI to make the decision. It will happen a split second and be unbiased. That's from Frazier. Isn't that the in vogue thing right now?
Well, that might happen. This to me is, and I don't want to sound defeatist about it, but I'm wondering, like, is there a perfect solution? Maybe people would just say, let's not review it anymore. The ref calls it on the ice. Like, at full speed last night, the ref called that a goal. So, therefore, the contact, as the ref perceived it, wasn't deemed to be very severe. So they were going to count the Nugent Hopkins goal, and they were going to count the St. Louis goal. And I think with the St. Louis goal, they just couldn't see enough of it on the replay. It has to be conclusive. So maybe a better solution than clarifying the rule is to remove the coach's challenge for goalie interference. I mean, we have it for offside. We have it for missed stoppages. Do we need it for goalie interference? Now, again, it's the teams themselves that make the rules. It's not just Bettman and the refs or whoever. So if we're having these reviews and we're still either confused or disliking the interpretation of the rule, should we just get rid of the reviews and just say, hey, this one goes back to the refs? If they see it at full speed, we call it off. You know, if they can't see it at full speed, then we're not going to worry about it. And maybe sometimes a player gets away with a little bump or restricting a goalie's glove or whatever. Maybe it's time to get rid of the review. Maybe that's the discussion we should be having, as opposed to writing the review, as opposed to rewriting the rule. Another way to look at it.
Mm-hmm. Mark texts in, says, hi, Reed. Great show. Kelly Rudy is amazing. Goalie interference should be simplified and transparent. Firstly, no goal allowed if an opposing player is in the goalie crease, unless the opposing player is pushed in by a goalie's teammate. And if a goalie is outside his crease, contact is allowed and a goal counts. Thanks. That's from Mark.
Yeah, and I think that's part of the language right now. Again, I think the thing is, though, this is a long rule. Like, it's a long rule to read, and I've read it through, and there's even a couple things where I'm like, wait a minute, doesn't that contradict something that's said earlier? And you kind of have to go back and read it again and imagine it. Yeah, I mean, last night, Hyman bumped the goalie in the crease. It wasn't severe. It was not severe at all. So the one thing I've heard is that, you know, and Mooner was saying this last night, that's just hockey. You know, hockey is mild bumps and players going to the net. And sometimes a goalie's not going to be positioned perfectly as a result. So those goals should still count if Hyman is in the normal process of making a play. But as Kelly Rudy said earlier, there was contact and Pennington was in the crease, so it should have been disallowed. I'm enjoying these responses, because what I find interesting is a lot of you have sent in ideas and language that are in the actual rule, right? But the rule is trying to cover a lot of possible scenarios, because I think when a league makes a rule for something as complex as goalie interference, they don't want to say, okay, this is going to cover 90% of the scenarios. They don't want to go into a season that way. They want to try to cover 99.9% of the scenarios. Mm-hmm. Give me one more before we break down.
Sure. Another unknown text came in and says, interference of goalie that results in a goal can be challenged, and if the referee agrees to the challenge, it becomes a referee's challenge, not a coach's challenge.
Oh, so there wouldn't be a penalty if you're wrong. But why would the referee... what if the referee didn't agree to the challenge, I guess? Like, what if the ref was just like, no, I'm right? Like, I don't know. Yeah, that's an interesting one. Okay, we'll get to a few more. 780-496-0063, InsideSports@630shed.com.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13. Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins is brought to you by James H. Brown and Associates, Alberta Injury Lawyers, the heavy hitters of injury law.
All right, let's wrap it up with a few more of your contributions, which I really appreciate and am enjoying. Rewrite the goalie interference rule. Clean it up. Make it about a paragraph. 780-496-0063. Email insidesports@630ched.com. Kellen, let's get a couple more in here.
Yeah, certainly. Great work, everybody, texting in tonight on the text line on this subject. Sean texts in and says, I'd rewrite goalie interference to read, it's only goalie interference on the original shot. Any rebound, etc. is fair game because all of the players are reacting to the puck, and it should be the defending defenseman clearing the front of their net. That is from Sean.
Okay, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm. We've got Ryan texting in, says that I dislike the video replay. I'd rather give the referees control and live with the odd bad decision. They're the best in the game, and they see it as they call it at full speed. The worst thing is offside reviews, basically, because you can't review it the other way. What if a referee calls an offside and turns out it wasn't offside? Do we award a penalty shot? The whole thing is stupid. That's from Ryan.
Yeah, I think the linesmen are, you know, they're kind of waving it off if it's close on the offside because they know it can be fixed in the review.
Craig texts in and says, I don't think there's any way to fix the rule because no matter what the interpretation is, the game is being interrupted and killing the momentum.
Well, so then I think he's saying just to get rid of the video review.
No, that's kind of fixing it. Kind of fire. I think he said there's no, he doesn't think there's any way to fix it, but hey, if you get rid of it, that's one way of fixing it.
Well, yeah, there may be no way to fix fringe cases or weird cases, I suppose.
And Mike texted in here and says, good day, gents. One element used as a referee for over 20 years in the game of rugby is the use of the interpretation of whether the contact of a player scoring a goal was contact material. Was the absence of contact or use of contact material to the goal being scored? I believe this would help reduce the time spent watching video and or the amount of time spent considered legality, I believe, is the last one.
Yeah, so yeah. That's an issue. Like, should that just be the question that referees have to say? Did the contact on the goalie cause the goal to be scored? Now, again, there still could be some cases there where it's like, well, wait a minute. Yeah, did what Hyman did last night cause the goal to be scored? I mean, I would say no, again, because Binnington kind of put his legs apart, but St. Louis would say, well, if Hyman isn't there at all, then he's not spun sideways a little bit. Yeah, gray area upon gray area, right? Anyway, I stand by that they did get the call right last night based on how the rule is currently written. I really appreciate that everybody participated. Kellen, pick a couple people to get a Hand Can Ham t-shirt that wrote in tonight.
Yeah.
Those were good ones. So tomorrow, it is the Oilers at Dallas. Face-off show at 6, game at 7:30. Thanks to Dave Campbell, the producer of Inside Sports. Kellen Kennedy, your studio producer this evening. My name's Reed. Thanks for listening.